My father was a terrible gambler. Terrible in that he did it a lot, and terrible because he wasn't very good at it, which is why he died penniless. People tell me I should never play poker. Too easy to read my face. Round the table, everyone watches the last two players, piles of chips in front of them, gambling a little or gambling big. There's a phrase, to go all in, to bet all your chips on the hand that you hold, to go all in, big gamble, to go all in. So how does it feel? Your cross, carrying your cross. How does it feel? Do you feel its rough wood? Scrape the skin of your shoulders, the weight of it pressing down on the bone? How does it feel, your cross? Or have you managed to find a brand of believing that has dispensed with crosses? It was one of the cruel little refinements of the Roman justice system that the condemned man had to carry his own crossbeam to the place of execution. The final irony, the last nasty little twist of the knife. So when Jesus speaks to his followers about crosses and carrying them, it was an image they knew, a picture they were familiar with, a horror they had confronted in the street. So not theory, not abstract symbolism, but harsh, heavy, cruel reality. Little wonder then they balked at the idea. Little wonder they tried to talk him out of it, all this morbid talk. Lighten up, Lord, think again. Cross is not for you. Cross is for us. No thanks. No good can come of going down that particular road. No, let's all catch our breath and think of some other options. Let's move on to plan B. And a harsh tongue-lashing from Jesus, who hears in Peter's well-intentioned but fundamentally devilish words the tempting voice that might deflect him from what he must do and who he must be. Deflect him from the big gamble, going all in. But you see, what if he's wrong? What if the cross is not the way to redemption? And if crucifixion is not followed by resurrection? What if hate and death and foulness extinguishes truth and laugh in the face of his love? What if Peter is right and this dying for the sins of the world business is just a terrible mistake? What if those first voices in the wilderness, offering him power, offering him glory, guaranteeing him a place in history, what if they had been right and all this loyalty to God, commitment to truth, all this way of service and now sacrifice was mistaken? It was just a stupid, stupid mistake. And the world would never laugh at his folly because it would never hear of him. What if oblivion, not triumph, were to be the end result of his efforts? And what if those who would follow him and take the way of self-denial only served to ruin and waste their lives and would be far, far better off living from day to day, for today, without the burden of the weight of their cross of obligation, their commitment to a way of life that will ultimately rob them of life, as they mistakenly give up, hand over, put each other's needs first, wager everything they have, go all in on the way of love, instead of just getting on with life, being decent sorts of people when the need arises, but without embracing this peculiar extreme of self-denial that Jesus seems to direct them towards. What if? Well, at least he was honest about it. He made it clear there was no small print. There were no hidden clauses, unexpected surprises. The choices were laid out with frightening clarity. Here is the wager. Here is what you bet your life on, your one shot at life on. What to believe, how to live, do all you can to preserve your own interests and lose out on life, serve God and serve others and find out what life is really about, what's true, what's false, what's wisdom, what's folly. He stakes his life on that formula of service to God, following his way, obedience and self-giving, he invites his followers to do the same. Why? Because he wants to ruin their lives, cheat them of their birthright as human beings, to be independent, self-seeking, self-fulfilling. Is that what he is? A spoil sport? Or does he see with a total clarity that clutching yourself to yourself, putting your own selfish aims at the heart of who you are, means you run the tragic risk of gaining the whole world and losing your own true self in the process? There is no easier route. There is no plan B. Not if a person truly wants to be all that they were made to be. If an individual wants to embrace their true stature and dignity. However heavily the cross of self-denial and loving with all your heart might weigh on us, it is the way to life in all its fullness. It's a choice that liberates us from the oppressive pressures to be up with everyone else, chasing after the goals of status and money that preoccupy so many, so that in the end they become greedy and narrow in their focus. You know how it goes. If it doesn't suit them, if it doesn't fit in with their schedule, if it looks like it might be inconvenient for them in some way, then frankly, my dear, who needs it? And so we develop into the kind of coarse and hard society that lacks compassion and forgets obligations and thinks only about number one. That's bad for society. It's even worse for individuals who miss their vocation and who, saddest of all, can seem to gain the whole world but lose their own true self in the process. We look back along the corridor of our story. We reflect at the end of our life what we did with it, who we became through it, the kind of success the world salutes, but which pulls us further and further away from our true centre of gravity, the God who leads and directs. A life where it costs nothing to be a follower of the crucified one because we never really took him at his word. We turned down the offer of a cross to carry. We refused the offer of a way of life that meant sacrificing a few of our dreams in order to follow the one important dream, the victory of love, the kingdom of God, the life in which his will was definitive and primary. So we look back along the corridor of our story and we ask, did we lose our own true self, or did we find out who we really are? Which voice did we listen to? Peter, offering a conveniently watered-down Christianity with no pain, no cost, no price? Or the voice of Jesus calling us to his way that embraces the cross, carries it to our many Calvaries, and trusting, believing, resting in God, waits for Easter morning? Big choices. High risk, big decisions. Who will we be? Who will we be?